In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, my apologies to those who heard this sermon on Wednesday, but that being said, among the images in the natural world appropriate for a comparison to our Blessed Mother, perhaps none is so fitting for the Feast of the Purification as that of the Lighthouse. February is generally is, the coldest and the darkest of months, like the night. And Our Lady comes at the beginning of February to shine as this light-filled beacon for us, to guide us in the way of salvation. The beautiful day of the Christmas season comes to its close. It came to its close this past Wednesday, the 2nd of February, the actual feast day of the Purification. And the holy but austere season of Lent, the time of our purification and our suffering, is now not far off. And our Heavenly Mother, always looking out for her children's best interests, our eternal welfare, wishes to signal for us beforehand the coming of the season so that we would begin from this moment to start properly preparing for it. It's not necessary to wait until Septuagesima Sunday, which is next Sunday, by the way. We can already begin to draw close to our Lord in the desert of penance, where he fasted and resisted the suggestions of the evil one. So what can we learn, especially from Our Lady's observance of the ancient rite of purification prescribed by the Mosaic Law for women who had just given birth? Above all, it is her singular attachment to the divine will, the holy will of God. The will of God was always dear to Mary. It was always cherished by her. The Holy Virgin knew that in complying with the rite of purification, she was in no way risking the honor of her divine child. It was in no way an admission of original sin in the soul of Christ. Neither was there any failure on her part to respect the truth of her own virginity in the miraculous nature of the birth of Christ. Our Lady was in the Temple of Jerusalem, the same as she was in the holy home of Nazareth, the handmaid of the Lord. It was fitting that she honor the precepts of the law because, in the view of everyone who knew her, she seemed to be subject to the law. Her son, God himself, who took flesh among us, even he submitted to the law as humbly as the poorest Hebrew. With his holy parents, he had even obeyed a bureaucratic obligation, the edict of a census by Caesar Augustus. His holy family was not subject to a simple trip by car several miles from their home to sit in an air-conditioned building for a few hours, such as when we go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. No, they were forced to flee in the middle of the night and complete a grueling, dangerous journey on foot, plagued by the danger of highway robbers the entire time. And finally, at the close of 33 years, our Lord was obedient unto death. And that the most painful and humiliating of deaths. So as we celebrate the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the presentation of our Lord in the Temple of Jerusalem, we see that the Blessed Virgin and our Lord, above all, humbled themselves. And the pride of man received one of the greatest lessons ever bestowed upon it. Let us humble ourselves. In Lent, we want to fast and abstain in a virile manner, We do want to offer up some sufferings. It wouldn't be Lent otherwise. But remember, the best mortifications are those that come from the heart. Those we accomplish not for our own satisfaction, but under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And dear faithful, if I stand before you talking today about the utmost importance of humility, I submit to you that for us, in the particular historical circumstances we are traversing, the humility which will be required of us in an entirely special way will be the humility to continue confessing the true faith. I'm really growing tired of sounding like a broken record in my sermons, dear faithful, I assure you. But, as it were, they made me do it. You may have seen over the weekend the sad news of European cardinals. The name escapes me at the moment, but I believe it was Hollerich, who called for the changing of the church's teaching on those afflicted with same-sex attraction and the lifestyle that they lead, and the church's teaching on women's ordination, married priests, so on and so forth. Dear faithful, I confess to you that it is really starting to feel like we are right there in room 101 of George Orwell's 1984. Many of you have probably read it. What does this shadowy figure, O'Brien, say to Winston as Winston lay there after having suffered months of torture and emaciation by starvation? He says to him, "Winston, if the party wished for me to turn into a soap bubble and float up into the air a few feet and then collapse under the pressure of the air, it would happen instantaneously." O'Brien, this is the man who believes that no reality exists outside of that which is in our own minds. And he declares it to Winston right then and there. Dear faithful, individuals who believe that the perennial, unchangeable truths of the Catholic faith, the objective truths of the Catholic faith, the objective moral truths of the Catholic faith, such as which behaviors are intrinsically good and which are intrinsically evil, can be changed overnight. These are just more O'Briens out there in the world. The faith that they profess is not the Catholic faith. It is something else. It is something of their own invention. And those who follow it will perish in eternal hellfire. We must, during these times, remain faithful. I know that many of you out there are angry. Many of you out there are suffering because of the weakening of our faith by those men whose very duty it is to uphold and to promulgate it. And I can only say to you that our Lord remains the eternal victor over this world. And even their heresies, even their treacheries, will be taken up by him and turned against them and to the good when they are least expecting it. I urge you with all my might to hold fast to the faith, to the true Mass. Our community and others like us will continue to do what we have always done. And again, I say it, come what may. So on this day of Our Lady's purification, the presentation of our Lord. It is above all humility, dear faithful. Be humble. Love your neighbor in humility. Confess the truth in humility. And in doing so, we will fulfill the law, not that which commanded the slaughter of animals in the temple, but the law of the new and eternal covenant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.